I am rolling here, so let's go ahead and do this. Okay. We welcome you. It is yet another adventure in podcasting. It is the Rivertown Review. I'm Harold Smith.
I'm Megan Rapp.
And we were inspired. We needed to take a deep bow in the direction of our inspiration for doing this for the first time in I've lost track of how long.
A hot minute, I believe the technical term is.
That would be the clinical term. Yes, absolutely. We found it. I have reached the conclusion. Of course, we had ever since pretty much the beginning of Rivertown Review, we had a president and a vice president of our fan club.
That's true. Yes.
And apparently, we now have a secretary and a treasurer also.
Yes. Yes. Our friends at the Mellow Brick Road podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be invited to be on somebody else's podcast
when you're not even sure anyone's listening to your own podcast. It's amazing.
These guys were just raving fans. Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk?
Yeah. And honestly, what were those guys' names again?
Van and... Why'd you put me on the spot, man?
Well,
I mean... You're going to edit this out later, right?
At least... Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. Van and his sidekick.
And his partner in crime.
Mm-hmm. Usually there's three guys, but there was only two this time.
Yes.
But yeah, Van was the kind
of... They have a cool-looking studio.
They do, absolutely. He has spared no expense or something, or else he finds stuff really cheap or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, they... and honestly, I had gone back and tried to listen to some of them. They're on... I'm sure they're everywhere.
Podcasts
are fans. Apple Podcasts. I found them on YouTube.
Van, Trace, and Mason.
All right.
Are typically the three amigos. Mm-hmm. We had two of the amigos.
We had two out of three amigos.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Not at all. Somebody said that. Somebody sang that once, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Meatloaf, I think. I don't know. But anyway, doesn't matter. We're kind of doing what they do. We went down a 1 hour, I wouldn't call it a rat. The whole thing wasn't a rabbit hole.
The whole thing wasn't a rabbit hole.
Oh, no. Not at all. Not at all. They wanted to know about Hannibal, and they have the mistaken idea that we were the foremost authorities there were on all things Hannibal.
And, I mean, out of that podcast, maybe we were.
Yeah.
Although they also grew up close to Hannibal, so.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They're based in, what, Mark Twain Lake area?
Yes.
Something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm thinking of all of the people that we have learned from, like Cindy Lovell and Henry Sweets and people like that that are the real experts when it comes to that. And, of course, Google is the ultimate authority.
And Google, the all-knowing, all-seeing...
Makes us sound smart.
Google, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nope, we were guests on the Mellow Brick Road podcast, and then we were inspired, hey, we should probably get back to podcasts.
Since I've lost track of when the last time we did this, it was... Well, they mentioned it. Van mentioned it. We did the two shows with Mackenzie Disselhorse. Mm-hmm. One of them being about food.
Yes,
that was the one that he mentioned specifically. So that would have been the last one, and which has been a while. So we figured since we were doing somebody else's podcast, we should probably do our own again.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We were inspired.
Absolutely.
And they. Yeah, it was very complimentary, you know,
and
nice to you know, feel like we're not just screaming into the void, although occasionally that's not a bad thing.
I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to scream into the void for whatever reason there might be.
Whatever reason.
Yeah, there's a name for a podcast for you, Screaming Into the Void.
It's probably already a podcast.
I
could ask the all-knowing Google. I'll bet you anything. Yeah. I mean, that's too good of a name for a podcast.
Yeah, if I had like a $5 bill, I'd slap it on the table right now to see about, you know, Screaming Into the Void, the podcast.
I'm sure it's the name of a band somewhere.
Yeah, that too. It's got to be some combination thereof. But when Megan texted me about, well, what are we going to talk about, and long time ago we did one on this, but it's even been more so. It's on steroids compared to when we mm-hmm. talked about it the last time. The cruise ships.
The riverboats part two.
Oh, how's that? Man. These, it seems like, well, they've been coming for how long now? How long have the river cruises been a thing?
I would once again like to pull up a hot minute. I believe that is the amount of time that they've been here.
Yeah.
They were coming when it was American Queen Steamboat Company. Mm-hmm. And there were three of them that came. There was the American Queen, the Delta Queen, and another queen whose name escapes me at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're live, folks.
That's right.
No time for that Google machine.
No.
And then they had gotten a special okay from Congress to continue to operate because they were wooden hulled vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Their hulls are made of wood.
Yes.
And after, I want to say it was like 1970, they said no more. No more of those wooden hulled vessels on like the Mississippi River. Wood doesn't really go up against barges very well, and just general wear and tear.
Yes.
But they got special permission because they were historic riverboats, yada, yada, yada. Well, then when it came time to get that special permission again, they were not able to. The Delta Queen, at least, because the American Queen still comes.
Yeah, because, Delta Queen goes back a long way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there have been these riverboats coming to Hannibal for quite some time, but the American Cruise Lines and now Viking Cruise Lines mm-hmm. are newer. Now, Viking came for the first time in 21. 22.
It's
2023 now.
second year, third year, something that Viking's been coming to town.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was the one we met with them. I want to say that back in my former life, I would say at least 7, maybe 9 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say this. Yeah, the thing with Viking has been a long time to finally come to fruition.
It was a long time coming. And, Missourians with their healthy dose of you got to show me.
Mm-hmm.
If I heard it once, I heard it 50 times. Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
They're not coming. They're not coming. Yeah, I know they've been talking to you. They're not coming. Yeah, get off my lawn.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. Get off my lawn. That's. Yep. And the big holdup was the fact that the ships and the company, they had to be based out of the United States. Mm. So
Viking is
a European cruise line.
Yes, it is.
Hence the name. Viking cruise lines. They sail the Thames and they sail the Danube and they sail, they're a European cruise company.
Would it be safe to say that river cruises on to that scale was more of a thing in Europe before it was ever a thing here?
I very much so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the ones along the Mississippi are our nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Of course, people still, they want to see the lovely towns along the Mississippi, but people tend to be drawn more towards the history. I'm not saying they're not in Europe, but it's... they've been doing the European cruises a lot longer than us folk over here in the U.S. have even been around the Mississippi.
Yeah.
I mean, waterways were the mode of transportation, so yeah.
And that would be another thing to Google, come to think of it, because we hear all about the Mississippi River cruises, of course, and I know there's cruises on the Ohio River,
the Snake River and the Colorado River,
okay.
And the there are other ones, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of Fall River cruises on the East Coast and along rivers that without the Google machine, lakes and rivers are not my winning trivial pursuit category.
Not at all.
So much.
But in the midst of the all the conversations with Viking and with some of the initial cruise ships making their way down through here. Then came the decision by the city of Hannibal, by Parks and Rec and the city and all of that, to redo the riverfront.
Yep. So American Cruise Lines especially said, you know what, we're building new ships. We're going to have other ships that we're going to be adding to the Mississippi River fleet. So you saw the writing on the wall. I don't know what the navigational term would be, but you know, you saw the boats floating down the river. You knew there were going to be more coming, and the riverfront revitalization project was already kind of in the hopper. And so they added another dock. Made complete perfect sense, knowing that there were only going to be more and more boats, and if Viking ever did come to fruition, that's a third cruise line that's going to be coming into Hannibal. And so, yeah, they actually put the two docks in, and Viking was part of those conversations. They, of course, talked to the cruise companies, because if you're going to have docks, you need to have your architects speak to the people that are bringing the boats.
Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah, you got to make sure. Yeah, you can't have your, as he does hand motions on for audio only, to get it all built and find that your dock is down here, but your the boat is up here.
Which actually happened with Viking. not Hannibal's fault, but they hadn't built the ship yet. And I don't know if they just made like an 11th hour decision to change something, but they actually paid, Viking Cruise Lines paid to have Hannibal modify one of their docks. Hannibal didn't pay a dime. Viking paid to have one of the docks modified because it was on them, because they changed their ship like blueprints. And so they paid to actually have one of the docks modified so that when their ship was built, and it has been built and it has been coming, so that they could dock in Hannibal. So people, I don't understand why these riverboats come to Hannibal. Well, ask one of the people that paid a whole lot of money to be on that boat. I'm sure they will tell you.
If you have and I've done a time where, just out of curiosity, gone to American Cruise Lines or Viking or whatever and checked the prices on these things. Yeah, these folks, that's one of those deals, if you have to ask, you don't bother.
Yes, yeah. Price available upon request. If those words are there, you probably don't want to request.
Probably you not. Don't no, know. No. And those, to just take a quarter step back. Of course, there had been, when it comes to having two cruise ships in here at the same time, before the riverboat, the riverfront was redone, they had one had to park on the Missouri side, and the other one had to park in the Illinois side.
Yeah, over in East Hannibal. And then you had to, which added, a good 20 minutes, because the motor coaches would come and pick the people up, but then they had to go across the bridge and then had to drive down into downtown. Yep. And so that... I mean, it, especially while the riverfront was being redone, did it work? Yes. Was it ideal? No, it was not ideal.
But now you can see, and there's been more than once, multiple times this season, that there have been two cruise ships there docked on the Hannibal Riverfront.
Indeed. Actually, there's been a handful of, a short number of times where there's even been three.
There's
been three.
Get out of town.
Yes. Three. How do you do three riverboats with two docks? Let me tell you, if they are sister ships, they pull right up next to each other, and then the boat on the far end, those passengers get a sneak peek at the other boat as they walk through it to get onto land, which I think is really fun.
And you get these. I think we need to dub these folks the "Get Off My Lawn" crowd,
because
you will hear the these cruise ships that come and they don't pay anything, all this kind of stuff, and they pay the city like so much per passenger. How does that work?
They pay per passenger. Yes. Now, because Viking shelled out a pretty penny to modify one of the docks, they have, I don't remember what it was, a couple of years where they're not went pay per passenger because they shelled out numerous figures to have the dock redone. But yes, they will, like the other two, eventually pay per passenger. I mean, then you have them getting off and touring our attractions. Now, and
the number I had always heard was a dollar a passenger.
It varies depending on the on the cruise line. It just depends on what the contract says. I mean, everything is, you know, you could sunshine it and all of that kind of stuff. But it just varies depending on what their agreement with the city is.
But the main thing is they come to Hannibal, come to our little river town, and they spend their money.
They
leave their money here before they wave bye-bye.
They leave their money here, yes. And then we use those sales tax dollars for our services like fire and police and streets. Mm-hmm. And those people are long gone. They don't use those services. It's great. It's a win-win for everyone.
although once in a great while, you will hear of people who have looked around on a cruise and go, I like it here, and have come to live here.
Yeah, have come to either come back because some of the boats, they only, you know, maybe they're depending on water level or, you know, other issues with the, navigation. Maybe they don't get to spend as much time in Hannibal, or maybe it's the set amount of time they're supposed to spend, but the folks didn't see what they wanted to see, or they wanted to spend more time, they'll come back, because if you're on one of those cruise ships, it's not going to be any more expensive to buy a plane ticket from wherever you are. And they'll stay at, we've heard that before from bed and breakfast owners. Mm-hmm. Mainly, I'm sure people come back and stay in hotels too, but you don't typically talk a lot to, you know, your hotel person that's checking you in. And bed and breakfast, you're having breakfast with the proprietor, so you know that, you know, you ask them where they came from, and yada yada. So we know that they have indeed, they've come back. And I thought you were uh-oh, going down the path of, but we have, because I said they don't use our services. I thought you were going to go down the path of, well, but a couple of times somebody's had to go to the hospital. and yes, occasionally that happens. Someone's ill. They have to go to the hospital. But no, for the most part, they just come and have a good time.
Yes, they do. And of course, we talk about them spending their money. I had a conversation with W.T. Johnson, and he is a part of this radio company Players. And apparently they have shows that they perform for the cruise, the people that are on the cruise ships. And he said that he had a big smile, and he said they tip really, really well.
Oh, that's fantastic to know. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think of that. Yes, there are a group of actors, and they do a radio performance, yes, which sounds strange because you're like, how would you, what, everybody's just listening to the radio? No, they are pretending, they're acting, they're portraying a live radio performance.
Yes, hearkening back to the days of live radio theater, where they had the sound effects guys.
Cue the cookie sheet that makes the thunder noise, exactly, and the box of nails.
And you get to see all of that take place. So, yeah, and of course the name.
It's a radio production of Huck.
Of Huck. But as far as the name of the company that does this, it's...
I wanted to say it's Muddy River Radio.
That sounds right. So I'm thinking Muddy River something. Yeah.
I'm thinking that it's Muddy River Radio. I know that in the past, Jim Waddell has been a part of it, W.T. Johnson.
Jim Dewey.
I feel like at one time, maybe Bob from the Belvedere... they do a live radio performance, and that has gone over really well. There's also Erin Kelly, who performs as Molly Brown. Mm-hmm. She's performed on the riverboats. Jim Waddell actually is a Mark Twain expert that he doesn't do a performance on Viking, because Viking makes it their policy to not have actors portraying someone, like how... how Jim portrays Mark Twain. They don't have that, but they do have scholars or experts that will come and talk on a subject. And so Jim goes as Jim, but he talks about Mark Twain.
Okay. Yeah, Muddy River Radio. That is the name of the group. Yes.
I haven't lost all of my brain cells yet. Yeah, that's they're on their way out, but occasionally I can pull something out without the help of Google.
Yeah, once in a while, yes.
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, wait till you get to, you got a ways to go, kiddo. I just had a milestone birthday of myself, of my own.
One of those speed limit birthdays, wasn't it?
The interstate speed limit. The Illinois interstate speed limit birthday. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're telling yourself now.
You're still barely out of the school zone.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Yeah.
There you go.
Somewhere over the speed limit of 25. It's fine.
Yeah. But the thing, one of the things about, the cruise ships, the stops that they make along the way, I have had conversations with folks, and they say when the cruise lines say, where do you want to go on a Mississippi River cruise, everybody wants to come to Hannibal.
Mm-hmm. Viking Cruise Lines stops two places in the state of Missouri. Now, the other ones stop a lot more places, and depending on how long their cruise is, Viking stops in St. Louis. That's where they board,
mm-hmm.
and they stop in Hannibal.
Yep.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And then they're done with the whole state. They're done with the whole state of Missouri. They're el finito. No more Missouri. And they stop here because of Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm. And not just Mark Twain. And as you alluded to, they have the motor coaches that will take them to Walmart or to the cave or the outlying areas.
They have a scenic tour that they'll do.
Okay.
It's a scheduled hop on hop off tour. Cruise lines will have special, excursions that you can sign up for, like on a big ocean liner cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what those motor coaches are used for, passengers to stop off at different locations or to hop on to get to their special excursion at their location. And that's what they do.
But as far as the basic, as you say, the reason they're here is for Mark Twain. And when it comes to the Mark Twain stuff, the main thing that they're here to see, it's right there. They can walk to the boyhood home, to the museum, to everything. All of the Mark Twain properties are right there.
Yep, and the nice thing about Main Street is they don't actually have to walk up a hill yet because they're only yes. going to Main Street.
That's right.
Now, yes. Once you get to Main Street, you do kind of have to walk up the hill to Hill Street to see the boyhood home.
A little bit,
but
yeah.
A little bit, but mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yep, they are right there.
And that is, I don't want to get into that. The Hannibal Quincy thing. The Quincy people would love for their cruise ships to come to Quincy so bad. This is the kind of thing we could really go down a rabbit hole and see who's paying attention to see what kind of reaction we get. Comparing the Hannibal Riverfront, that's where it starts, as far as I'm concerned. You compare the Hannibal Riverfront, what it looks like now, to the Quincy Riverfront. And not only that, but the proximity to any sites that you would want to see. And that's not, that's just the way the town is set up. It's not anybody's fault that it's that way. It's just that.
Everything is just, it's so close. And that's another reason why people like Hannibal as one of the excursions or as one of the stops, because they don't have to get on the motor coach to go see anything. If they want to just mm-hmm. walk off the boat and go, they can. And anybody who's ever done a cruise, be it ocean cruise, river cruise, what have you, you know that typically wherever you're docking, you're not within walking distance to mm-hmm. someplace because you're in the docks.
Yes, that's
and
right.
The dock typically is a much more of a working dock. You know, there are ocean liners with the giant, all of the things that are on the back of semis, is big cargo.
Yeah, the yes.
Cargo containers. And because you're on a ship, you are obviously docking in the docks. It's not usually a place where you could just step off this gigantoid boat and then go see your stuff. So Hannibal makes it very easy, obviously not intentionally. We didn't know that Mark Twain was going to grow up and be just, famous and
just kind of turned out
a block
that way.
Away. Mm-hmm. But we're really happy that he did.
Yeah, as it's turned out, yes.
Not going to turn it down.
Not at all. And as far as the options, I mean, people can do a cruise of the entire Mississippi, or they can do what, Upper Mississippi and Lower Mississippi.
Yep, and Hannibal's on the Upper Mississippi, mm-hmm. which is why we get riverboats pretty much early July through maybe like the first week of November, because you don't want to get stuck in, you know, ice.
No.
pretty much after November. No. You don't. Yeah, they stick to the Lower Mississippi and the, you know, antebellum mansions and all of that, and New Orleans and things of that nature that don't freeze in January.
Yes. No, that's a good thing. But yeah, it's just have you ever really, I know there was one time, I think it was a boat that was here for the first time or something like that. They had like a reception and whoop-de-doo and a press conference.
Oh, we always have a reception and a whoop-de-doo when a boat, like when a brand new boat comes.
Well, they only invited me once. Of course, it was your job, you know, pretty much.
I've been on every boat.
You hung out at the docks for the whole summer.
Now.
And fall.
Now in a different time period. A different time period, telling a woman that she hung out of the docks would have a completely different meaning.
Well.
But yes.
No light poles or anything like that. No. Okay, let's not go there. We did an episode about that, and those kind of places were around till the 1950s. But anyway.
Exactly. When any inaugural ship docking will have, you know, you'll get out all the dogs and all the ponies. Because we got a show. Yeah. You got your key to the city, and you have your proclamation given by the mayor, and you'll have Tom and Becky there, yes. And you invite the media. And depending on the, the captain, depending on their timing, you may or may not get a tour of the boat, and they decide who gets to do that. Sometimes they're like, yay, everybody, give us your driver's license and you get a tour. And sometimes it's very, no, can't do that. And that's really, I mean, that's a safety thing, Army Corps of Engineers. And I mean, that's all federal regulations and things of that nature. But yep, anytime a new riverboat comes, by golly, we do the dog and pony show because it's Hannibal.
That's it. Yeah, you got to get Tom and Becky got to come do their thing and all of the basic stuff when it comes to that. And that's, you know, and that's what and whether it's something like this, whether it's, I know we've had businesses that have come to town, and when it came to pitching Hannibal, that's one of the things that has impressed them, is that when it's something like that, where with some other towns you get a PowerPoint presentation, with when Hannibal comes to call, courting a business,
there aren't a lot of places that can say, you know, about 50 times a year we'll have between 100 and 400 people dropped off two blocks from your business.
The example I always come back to is Dutch Country General Store. Mm-hmm. When they came to, they were courted by Springfield, Missouri. They were courted by Branson, and they were courted by Hannibal. But they came to Hannibal because of everybody turned out to come and pitch this community. They didn't just send one or two people with a PowerPoint. They called out the troops to make sure, and here they are, like you said, with, you know, multiple times in the summer and fall, having hundreds of people come see them.
Yep, I think this year I'm wanting to say maybe 51. In 2023, there were 50 or 51 scheduled riverboat dockings, which is the most we've had thus far.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the schedule is for 2024 and beyond, but I mean, they're not going anywhere.
No.
They're around.
It's a thing, and it's going to continue to be a thing.
And I feel like, you know, we joke and talk about sales tax and things, but I feel like, you know, of course, historically, riverboats, Mark Twain talks about the riverboats docking when he was a child, and that they would dock, you know, between two and four times a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, steamboats are coming and all that hoopla. I mean, Mark Twain, It's a riverboat term.
Had it not been for a little thing called the Civil War, Mark Sam Clemens might have been a riverboat pilot, and that would have been it.
He would have continued to be a riverboat pilot. That's mm-hmm. a job he really enjoyed.
Yep.
But, you know, the riverboats brought people, and they did bring goods because, I mean, they're the semis of the river. Mm-hmm. U.S. mail and all of that kind of good stuff. I wonder, in terms of revenue, how much those riverboats in days of yore, because mm-hmm. they weren't cruising leisure vessels necessarily. Now obviously they shuttled people, but they also shuttled stuff.
They would shuttle like a ferry might not be completely, you know, it might be apples and oranges a little bit, but yeah, they ferried people, but not necessarily in a luxurious kind of a manner.
Right. You know? Yeah. They weren't all necessarily showboats.
Yeah.
Like you think of, you know, of having, you know, these luxurious cabins or anything like that. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, you could get a ticket. But I'm not. I don't know if there was wine included with your meal and all of those fancy things like you have on the riverboats now. So I wonder. And as you also alluded to, those establishments that were finally closed down in the 1950s, aka Lulabelle's and that type. You know, those popped up because of riverboats in days of yore. Riverboats and trains, and you have transient.
The need for companionship is just it's always there.
And I'm happy to say that our modern day riverboats have not brought that.
This is a good thing. Yes.
Slightly different clientele. You know, I'm
believe
to,
so. Yeah,
I think that they're doing a lot
thing.
For Hannibal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We wanted to kind of get back on, you know, on Rivertown Review to talk a little bit about the river. That's why we wanted to.
Absolutely, and I think the last time that you and I got together, I mean, your situation has changed since then. Of course, we really hadn't talked much through the bulk of this about your association with the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Yeah.
But that you have moved on from that. And matter of fact, you know, we could do a shout out. I mean, your successor is she in place now? Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Our buddy, you know, Tricia O'Sheltry. Mm-hmm. What a nice choice. What a neat lady. She's comes with background with the JCs. She's been in media. She and I worked together. Mm-hmm. And of course, her dad, speaking of the business people along Main Street,
a staple of downtown Hannibal for 30 years. Yep. I'm wanting to say,
yeah,
dad, I think it's been 30.
Native American Trading Company, you bet. So yeah, so that's with Tricia, of course. Speaking of old media guys who decided to do something, get an honest living.
I'm not the only one that made a little bit of a jump here.
Well, yeah, there was that, but Trevor, also at CVB now, and old newspaper guy, which, you know, print guys, bless their hearts, but
says the radio guy.
Yeah, exactly. I spend a little time in print, so you know that's how that works. But yeah, we've all moved on, but it's not the marketing lady and the radio guy, which our first episode was entitled at that point. Although you are still involved in marketing.
Marketing lady, yeah. People are probably like, why does she know why does she know the dock had to change because of the riverboat blueprints? Who is this weirdo? It was part of my job. That's why I knew it.
It was your job. That's right.
And now it now can be a very not so. It was probably a poorly kept secret anyway. But we didn't really talk about our jobs on the podcast because.
Yeah. That's. But then instead of now doing things in a professional radio studio. In this case, we're doing it at your kitchen table.
Yes.
You may notice a little bit of an echo, but that's okay.
Yeah. Any little creaks or sounds might be my dog.
Could be. Yeah, I thought he was our dog skin rug when we first started here, but he's moved on from that.
Just 100 furry pounds of sweetness over there.
Absolutely.
He's our house cow. That's what we call him. He's very large.
he would look at our two little doggies and think, ah, snack. Yeah.
He would run away. If they barked at him, he would run away. He's the biggest chicken. He really is.
One of those. Okay. Yep. All right. But yeah, the cruise ships, if that's something that we have someone that is within earshot that might want to do that, I'm sure, you know, go to the pick a cruise line and Google those and see what it takes, and maybe we'll see you here.
And sometimes they have deals, and I mean, like we were talking about, you know, if price upon request is not deter you, hey, we would love to welcome all of you to Hannibal.
Come on down.
I always found it to be really funny because people would talk about, like, oh, I've seen Viking Cruise in the Smithsonian Magazine. I'm like, Think about how much it costs to advertise in Smithsonian Magazine. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I've seen that in the New Yorker. Uh-huh. Yep. You sure have.
Yes, you have. They're all, you see them all over the TV and all of that stuff. Yep. So check them out and come see us. Were they the ones, I know there was a long time ago we talked about, you would have people on there that we would be like, would portray Mark Twain and that kind of thing and do talks and stuff on some of these.
Well, some of the riverboat cruises do. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Viking typically doesn't do impersonators.
You talked about that.
Viking
right.
doesn't. Mm-hmm. Now, Richard Geary, who has portrayed Mark Twain for years and years, mm-hmm. He has a contract with American Cruise Lines and has for years and years. He mm-hmm. will meet the riverboat in St. Louis and then will. I mean, they'll have Mark Twain themed cruises, and he will be on board for the duration of the cruise and do numerous talks and do performances. And of course, he does a walk with Mark Twain through Hannibal.
I was going to say that, yeah.
On American Cruise Lines, mm-hmm. and so it kind of depends on what you're looking for. In the fall, this time of year, of course, they do, obviously fall color cruises. They have themed cruises. They'll have Mark Twain themed cruise. They've got their other themes, and you can choose 5-night, 7-night. I don't remember how long the whole Mississippi River is. It's a long, but scenery changes every day on a cruise. You go to bed and you wake up and you're in a new spot.
And of course, if that's not something that, you know, if you look at that non-committal line on the website and go, nah, I don't want to see what the price is, then you can always come go see Steve and Sandy at the Mark Twain Riverboat.
Yeah. That's probably the closest I'm going to do. Closest I'm going to get to a Mississippi River cruise, which I'm just fine with that.
Yeah,
to the Mark Twain Riverboat. I love the Mark Twain
Riverboat. Yeah, the folks that, of course, I in my day job these days, I work with volunteers who the agencies they work for, it would not work without them. And one of the things that we do is we throw a party for them every year. And this year we've got, when we have people coming from, who aren't just from Hannibal, who come from places like Cahokia and Moberly and places like that, they don't get here a lot. And I'm thinking, if we're going to bring them all to Hannibal, we need to do something Mark Twain-y. So we had our party, our recognition dinner on the Mark Twain Riverboat. And Steve and Sandy worked with us on that. And I tell you, you talk about people that could do Mark Twain. The way Steve Terry looks these days, he could do a pretty good Mark Twain without a whole lot of, you know, and without any extra makeup or anything.
Getting a little extra salt in that salt and pepper.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I asked him when I saw him. This was back in June. You know, Steve, you could be a Mark Twain. You know that, don't you? Yeah. Of course, I mean, anybody. I mean, I think you had even talked about, you know, that when they're doing the Mark Twain things, about maybe trying to, what complete sentences. What I'm thinking is, I'm thinking back, remember they had the Kentucky Fried Chicken commercials where everybody was dressed up like the Colonel, and they had Reba McEntire dressed up as Colonel Sanders. I figure if Reba McEntire could pull off Colonel Sanders, you could pull off Mark Twain. That's what I'm thinking.
There we go. That's officially on my bucket list now.
Yeah, there you go.
I just need a white suit.
To be Mark Twain. Yes, absolutely.
although he didn't start wearing his white suits until he was in his
70s. Speaking of marketing, we've talked about that before.
That was a fantastic marketing move, however. Mm-hmm. Very smart man. Mm-hmm. You see pictures of young Mark Twain, and nobody knows who he is. Who's that guy with the bushy... dark mustache.
Yeah, the redheaded guy with the bushy mustache and the black suit.
Yep.
Yeah, but that was him. But yeah, that was that about the time of his thing with Ulysses S. Grant that we did a show on? Was it about that time that the white suit came along?
Or no, he wore his white suit out of season. Knowing full well.
After Labor Day.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But he knew that he made quite the picture with the snowy white hair and the white bushy eyebrows and the white mustache. It made quite a visual impression to wear a white suit. He did that when he was petitioning Congress about copyright laws.
Okay.
Because that's people would run across the pond over to England and print his stuff. And to get around copyright in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Twain, being a writer, liked to get paid for what he wrote.
Imagine that. I do
not disagree.
Not at all.
You should get paid for what you write. So that is why he started wearing those white suits, is because he cut quite the visual figure.
Mm-hmm.
The rest is history.
The rest is history, yes.
And well, there we'll end with that interesting factoid.
Yeah, yes, indeed, because we're about 40 minutes in now, so we probably ought to save all this vast knowledge for another day.
For season two, episode two, episode 222. I don't even know where we are.
I know I broke it up into seasons, but I lost track of that along. I might have to go back and see just exactly what we're going to call this. I think this is total, I want to say 62 or something like that.
Wow.
That's a lot.
We have talked a lot.
Yes, we have. You could go, I mean, assuming everything is more or less a half hour, you know, you could spend, 31 hours. Doing nothing but listening to
Drive to Vegas and back, listening to Rivertown Review.
There you go.
You will be so Hannibalized by the end.
Or something. And we'll leave that to the imagination.
Well, we'll just have to figure out what topic we're going to discuss next and make it happen.
And go from there, absolutely. We thank you. You have taken 40 minutes out of your valuable time to join us on our random ramblings, and we appreciate that. Let us know what you think, and if you've got a suggestion for a guest, you know, we've still got Rivertown Review still on Facebook. You can get in touch with us there, and stop us on the street. You know, whatever works for you. But we appreciate it more than you know. I'm Harold Smith.
I'm Megan Rapp.
And that is the Rivertown Review Podcast, and we will see you next time.